Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" And when the chief priests and scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching.
Then he began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a pit for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the season came, he sent a slave to the tenants to collect from them his share of the produce of the vineyard. But they seized him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. And again, he sent another slave to them. This one they beat over the head and insulted. Then he sent another, and that one was killed. And so it was with many others. Some they beat, others they killed. He had still one other, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they seized him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you not read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become a cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. When they realized that he had told this parable against them, they wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowd. So they left him and went away. Then they sent to him some Pharisees and some Herodians to trap him in what he said.
"Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by men because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not?"
"You hypocrite. Why are you trying to entrap me? Show me the coin paid used for paying the tax. Whose portrait is this, and whose inscription?"
"It is Caesar's, of course."
"Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's."
"Teacher, in all the law, which is the greatest commandment?"
"Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor, yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." "The teachers in the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you to do. Do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and shoulders, themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them."
It was 2 days before Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." Well, Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. As he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city, and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me now."
It seems like we made an abrupt shift to from the joyful and celebratory and exciting to the somber and dangerous and worrisome. That reflects the sequence of what happens in the Gospels. Jesus does enter the city with disciples surrounding him, excited with hope and with the promise of what may yet come. But quickly, the conflict between Jesus and the authorities escalates. They provoke, he stands up to them, and things get more and more tense. And then we come to that story, which I wish were told even more in remembrance of that woman who did such a kindness to Jesus. I think over the centuries, the story of Judas and his betrayal has been told and told, and everyone knows Judas's name and has heard of him. But this woman who, in the midst of all this antagonism and fear and conflict, comes forward with a generous and gracious and heartfelt gift to extend to Jesus what may have been the last real kindness given to him before he's crucified on the cross. And we don't even know her name, but yet we know Jesus affirmed and received that wonderful gift, saying what she has done will be told in her memory. Bible translators have suggested that words like "she has done a lovely thing," "she's done a winsome thing," "she's done a gracious and graceful thing" would all be appropriate in understanding her gift. And it prompts me to raise the question for myself, and others may want to consider it as well. When we look back on our lives, will there be something that we might have done, a kindness, a graciousness, an act of generosity for Jesus and all those Jesus loves that will be told in our memory? We know that after this incident in which this woman anointed Jesus and expressed her love, he then went on to gather his disciples together in a room that had been especially prepared for them. Everyone had come into the city to celebrate this Passover meal. And as is the tradition, the table was covered with the foods that reminded the participants of how God had brought them out of slavery and into freedom. And so as they sat around that table, Jesus took bread from the table and gave thanks to God and broke the bread and said, "Take this and eat. This is my body." In the same way, he took a cup and asked God's blessing upon it and passed it around the circle of his friends, and everyone drank from it. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my life poured out for you and for many." And he said, "I will not drink the fruit of the vine again until I drink it new in the kingdom of heaven." And so even as they had to face these dark days ahead, the disciples held fast to that promise that their beloved teacher would again drink the fruit of the vine together with them in the kingdom of heaven. In the United Methodist Church, everyone is welcome to participate in Holy Communion. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to have been here before. You don't have to be a certain age. Everyone who desires to receive the grace of God and walk with Jesus is welcome to participate.
To a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be distressed and agitated. He said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father,
for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping.
"Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." "Friend, do what you came for. Am I leading a rebellion that you came with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour, when darkness reigns."
Then they laid their hands on him and arrested him. All of the disciples deserted him and fled. The guards took Jesus to the high priests, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled.
Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none, for many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'" But even on this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But he was silent and did not answer. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate.
"You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. For this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me."
"And what is truth? I find no basis for your charges against this man, but it is customary that I release one prisoner at the time of Passover. Do you want me to release this king of the Jews?"
"No."
"But I have found no fault in this man."
"Crucify him."
You take him. I find no basis for a charge against him."
"But we have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he has claimed to be the Son of God."
"Do you hear what they're saying? Speak to me. Do you know who I am? I have the power to release you or to crucify you." Here is your king.
Take him away! Crucify him! Take him away! Crucify him!
Shall I crucify your king?
We have no king but Caesar.
I am innocent of this man's blood. Take him away. Crucify him.
It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified Jesus. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion, who stood facing him, saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son." We bow down, we worship, and we pray with the words of Psalm 31. "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wastes away from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my misery, and my bones waste away. Yet here I am to worship. I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love." Here we are to worship, and we join in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.